Bis hierher hat mich Gott gebracht durch deine große Güte. Bis hierher hat Tag und Nacht bei Wort hart uns gemüte. Bis hierher hat mich erfreut. Bis hierher hat mich geleit. Bis hierher mir geholfen. My name is Johnny Croker. And this morning I'd like to share my testimony. Before I go on, I just wanted to note that I really enjoyed writing this. It seems I took it a little bit too far. It went from writing down my experience as a Christian to writing a bit of a biography. I don't intend on sharing my whole life story, but I will say this. It is a blessing to remember the journey of where one was and to see where the Lord has taken you. I realize that not many of you understood the poem that I just shared. By a show of hands, who did not understand the poem? Don't be ashamed. You should be ashamed. All right. It's a part of your heritage to know this language. And all joking aside, it's taken out of the Gesangbuch that the Old Colony uses. It's song number 725. And it expresses how God has brought us thus far, how he's preserved us all this way, and that it's his leading that has taken us to this part of our lives. I grew up in Leamington. My parents are Jacob and Anna Croker, and they have perhaps the biggest impact of my spiritual journey. They taught me God, they convinced me that God exists, and that he loves me, and that they love me. I love you was a phrase often spoken in our home. In fact, it was so common that I thought that that's what all homes were like. And I found out from friends that that was certainly not the case. My parents taught us prayer. They'd have this routine where mom would wake us up in the morning and pray with us, and dad would put us to bed and pray with us. And we'd made sure he'd carry us to bed until we were just too ridiculously heavy to be able to be carried. Like many of you, I grew up in the Old Colony. I attended their school. And one of the greatest regrets of my life is that I didn't pay more attention in school. There we were taught using the CLE curriculum. Looking back, it seems this had a bigger impact on me than I had ever realized at the time. The values taught in the curriculum seem to affect me to this day. They not only teach from a Christian perspective, but they teach Christianity itself from a particular perspective. And being taught so young, I readily believed it and concluded that this is simply what Christianity is. And I also thought that that's what all Christians believe Christianity was made out of. For some reason, I grew up with a sense of fear. At a young age, I developed a sense of obsessive compulsiveness, or OCD. How I sat, or the number of times that I did things, or that I did things evenly, started to affect my life. Over this time, this shifted from being a mental issue to becoming more a moral one. Now, it was not simply the number of times I did things, but that I told the exact truth, or that sort of thing. I'm not sure if you know what I mean. If someone told me a story of something that happened to me, I would always express extreme uncertainty, always fearful that I was accidentally lying to the person or that I was speaking to. I had a rather sensitive conscience. I even had issues with my prayers. Instead of prayer becoming an escape where I could enjoy the presence of God, it became a dread, fearful that I'd do it wrong. I had a sensitive conscience. And I remember people saying that when praying, it's important to concentrate on what you're saying. For me, that meant that if I had any lapse of concentration, I should start over. And so I'd start over and over and over, and never satisfied that I was doing it right. I'd easily feel condemned. I'd confess menial things to people, things that didn't make sense. I'm not sure if this is God's doing, but my mental health has never been really great. Many times I have fallen into a sort of anxious depression, During these times, I would question a lot of things. Immorality also took toll on my life. I developed a fascination for action movies, video games, and comic books. I also succumbed to pornography. Little did I know how much damage this would cause in my mind and my life. At age 13, I was invited to a youth group. It was a few families that got together. We'd have devotions, some snacks, play some games. I'd go on and off. I didn't take it too seriously. I was more so there for the games than anything else. After a couple of years, it died out, and I saw myself getting into other immoral things. I had a desire to go to parties. Fortunately, at the time, I couldn't drive, so I was at the mercy of going wherever my friends wanted to go. And fortunately, they didn't really want to go there, so we didn't find ourselves there very often. One day, one of the leaders of the youth group I mentioned prior decided to invite us for some devotions and fellowship, just like old times. I remember sitting at the fire that night as spiritual conversation went on and feeling as it were a tug, a draw. It seemed I was not the only one. It was as though a small revival went about. I believe the youth leader intended that this would just be a one-night event, but the response was so well that he decided to continue, and for the next 5 years, we met nearly every Saturday. I decided that this time, I'd take going to this youth group a little more seriously. He noticed this, and he was the only one leading at the time, so he decided to make a little bit of a leadership team, and he asked if I'd like to join. And with a bit of hesitancy, I did. This became a formative time in my spiritual growth, and although I have known about Jesus Christ all my life, something a bit more intimate began to develop. I developed a keen interest in the Bible, and I wasn't the only one. It seemed it was happening to a few of us. We'd find ourselves getting together often and talking over Scripture. This encouraged me to dive further and become more consistent. I recall sitting at a gas station one afternoon, right before going to see some friends, and feeling convicted that I wasn't having regular devotions. I opened my Bible and started reading after I felt rather good or that I had accomplished something worthwhile. And that's where my daily devotions began. One Easter, my mom gave a Bible to each of us siblings. It was a Precious Moments edition, and she had my aunt order them online. They had put our names on it, and I have it right here. They had run out of the boys' version, and so my brother and I received the ladies' edition, and my brother-in-law was the only one to receive a boys' edition. And during this time, this became the Bible of my choice. I spent quite a lot of time in this. If I'm not mistaken, this was really the first Bible I really started reading consistently. I believe I had started in Genesis and got about halfway through the Psalms before I started using a different Bible. I took this Bible to me to Bible studies, and I shared devotionals with it. It was quite a conversation starter. It was rather special. I went on to using a New King James Version study Bible, and then use this. Also, an Easter gift from my parents. We'd meet as a youth Saturday after Saturday. It was a liberal setting, and I certainly have many, many regrets. But it seems God used this to teach me many things. At times, I'd lead out in a devotion for the evening, and this challenged me to spend time learning about the Bible and getting to know God himself. Where or when was my conversion? I'm not quite sure. I don't have one particular day and time that I turned to God. I have a period of about 2 or 3 years where many times God has called, and many times I had responded. Some seem to turn away from everything and follow Christ in one particular moment. I, on the other hand, had turned to Christ one thing at a time. One time it was turning away from video games, another time turning away from comic books, another time movies, and so on, and turning to Christ instead. I attended high school at the Old Colony, at the Old Colony School in Cottam. Grades 9 and 10 I had done through homeschool, and I hadn't been very productive during this time, so I decided to go back to school, and I remember the first day of grade 11. I felt it was the most boring day of my life. But I stuck it through. I remember there was one person in particular there that really got on my nerves, and he was my teacher. He had standards, I had pride. He was a lot more by the book than I was used to. I remember one time I sat in class with a big jacket on. I easily get cold, and so Michael knows this. I'm always in the office with a jacket. And it was big and bulky and rather noisy, and he wanted me to wear a sweater instead. He was fine that I wore something, just not something so big and noisy. And he asked me to take it off, and I just told him no. And he asked me again, and I said no. And he pulled me aside, and just asked me to, when I was in the hallway, asked me to take off my jacket, and I said no. And his response was very, it startled me. All he said, I'm not sure why I'm tearing up over this, but all he said was okay. And I remember feeling really ashamed. As time went on, I started finding him to be a lot more of a friend and a mentor. I remember going through a really difficult time, and he had set up some chairs in a supply closet. And I don't know if it was during class or during recess or something like that. And he wanted to pray with me. I was still expressing a more liberal form of Christianity, and he a more conservative. And there was something attractive about how he went about things. A few of my friends were involved in the Deer Run Church. I started attending their youth and young adult group. Time to time, I would join a Sunday morning service. I had a desire to join the church, but my parents pleaded with me to think otherwise. And I'm blessed that I heeded their warning. Friends of mine were going through baptism, and I too had the desire. I seemed to be losing interest in how the Old Colony was going about things, so I decided to seek elsewhere. One Sunday morning, my sister had invited us to the church she was attending. I went along with my parents and, for the first time, attended the Rhineland Church in Coatsworth. This is not New Rhineland. This is the old Rhineland Church. At the end of the sermon, the minister read a story, and the story moved the congregation to tears. I was searching as to which church to attend, and this sermon had such a big impact on me, I decided to attend there. A small part of me had thought, maybe this is how all their sermons go, but that was not the case. At 18 years old, I was baptized and became a member, and I spent the next 7 years attending there. Around this time, I started working at a factory as a press operator. While in high school, I often I was often told that I'd make a good teacher. I really didn't appreciate when people told me this. I didn't like the idea of becoming a teacher. Well, I really didn't like the idea of working at this factory too much long either. I remember working at one of the presses and reconsidering this idea of teaching, and a sudden joy filled within me. Till this day, I'm not sure whether it came from responding to a call from God, or just the idea of teaching, or just the joy of knowing that I didn't have to work at that factory anymore. My sister told me of an opening at the CFLC school in Staples, and I taught there for 2 years. This shaped me even further, and the thing that happened next I would not have seen coming. By this time, I was 21 years old. We were on vacation in Mexico, and I sat in a hotel listening to a sermon preached by Paul Washer. Perhaps you've heard of it. I think a youth group had invited him to speak, and he talks to them rather seriously, and he challenged them to examine themselves and to check whether they were truly saved. As mentioned earlier, I have a rather sensitive conscience. I felt compelled to respond to this. Now, I had asked myself this question before. At times, I still ask myself this question. My becoming a Christian was rather gradual. I don't have a particular day in my life when I chose to be a Christian. And I've often felt a sense of insecurity regarding my salvation, even to this day. But this time, I became rather fixated on this idea, am I truly saved? It makes sense to consider this, correct? Why not? The end comes and you're not ready, what then? However, I started to put a tremendous pressure upon myself, and I started the search for some sort of certainty, some way of knowing for sure that I am truly saved. I lost sleep. I started to ask questions and look into the Bible and even pray in a way that was very unhealthy, pressuring myself and others in search of an answer. Being led by fear, I asked myself obsessively, am I really saved? However, the question started to change. The question turned from this to something much more frightening. The question turned from, am I really saved, to, am I still saved? Have I lost my salvation? This question consumed me. A combination of loss of sleep, anxiety, and so on had already made me rather weak. In my walk as a Christian, I had not always been faithful. I had struggles with sin, and I knew I had lived a rather liberal Christian life. I will not share all that I did or that happened to me during this time, but my sense of hope started to fade, and this became rather ugly. And all these things wherein I found so much hope, like prayer, the Bible, and the presence of God, now became something to be feared. I became convinced that somewhere in my life I had rejected God and he had left me. I became convinced that now I was simply on my way to hell, that it was simply a matter of time, that my life ends and I face God's wrath. My worst nightmare was now going to be a reality, and I felt there was nothing I could do about it. I sunk into a depression that went to a depth I had never before experienced. I would not sleep. Some nights I'd quickly run to the window and look out, fearing that Christ would come sometime. Some nights I'd quickly run to the window and look out, fearing that Christ would come any time and bring me to eternal torment. As mentioned before, I was teaching during this time. My family had seen that I was in no condition to lead a class, so my sister stepped in to teach in my place. I was damned, and this was all that I could think about. I received visitors during this time. I received texts and calls from people trying to encourage me. I remember my uncles from Vienna coming out to encourage me. I remember receiving a call from a gentleman who had gone through something similar and receiving encouragement from him. I remember a phone call with one of my uncles from Vienna. His wife had gone through something similar, my aunt had gone through something similar, and he gave me advice that I didn't expect. But none were there for me, like my parents. Had I listened to them from the beginning, I would have avoided a world of trouble. They had tried to warn me not They had tried to warn me to take it easy, to slow down, to be patient, not to pursue the topic the way that I did. Many prayed for me. I craved hope. If only there were some way out. Often it seemed it would be easier to simply take my life. If I was damned, why wait? I might as well go there right away. In all this, another thought lingered within me. What if it wasn't true? What if I was wrong? What if I did have hope? I knew that if I continued in this direction, hope would eventually be gone. Was I damned? That was a maybe. Was there hope? That was also a maybe. It seems as you mature as a Christian, you learn many things. And along the way, you learn that under any circumstance, God is worth living for. So amidst all uncertainty, I decided to live for God anyway. I couldn't find the certainty that I was still in God's grace, but I also couldn't find the certainty that I was not. So I decided to live as though there was hope. Finding hope again became one of the most defeating and difficult things in my life. As one writer put it, it seems when you are thirsty, the more you try to tell yourself you're not thirsty, the more thirsty you become. I chose to recommit. I chose that if there was hope, if I still have a chance, then I would go about Christianity differently this time. I decided to take a more conservative approach. I changed the clothes I wore, the music I listened to, the things I watched. Little did I know that this would prepare me well for the next stages that I was going to go through in my life. I gave up my position as a youth leader. I realized I needed to move on from the people that I was hanging out with at the time. They were great, loving people, but we simply had different values. However, I didn't know where to go. Where would I find people with values I now wanted to embrace? I remember going to visit my past high school teacher. I get a little less annoyed with him now. I'd often go to him for advice. I shared this concern with him, and he prayed with me. I was still attending the Rhineland Church at this time, and I decided to plug into my church more than I had been. For some reason, throughout my life, I've often found myself finding my main sources of fellowship from groups outside of the church I'd attend, such as the youth group. Now I wanted to make a point to serve where I was at, and this made the next part of my life rather ironic. One day, my brother and I were having lunch at Pho Saigon. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Pho Saigon before. Just a few of you. As we were eating, we were approached by a gentleman. I knew him, but not very well. And little did I know that he'd become one of my best friends. During that time in my life, we spent a lot of time together. It seems God knew I needed a friend, and he gave me one. He was faithful. He was going to the New Rhineland at the time. They had started a young adult group for ages 18 and older, and he invited me to join. This seemed perfect. We were very excited about this, for finally, we now had a whole group of people our age to hang out with. They'd have games and Bible studies. I went a number of times and really enjoyed myself. Suddenly, I felt a pull away from this. The direction I wanted to go with my convictions were different from theirs. It was very difficult for me to let go of, since, as mentioned before, I was having trouble finding Christians my age to hang out with. I remember being in a parking lot, receiving an invitation for the next event. I remember wondering as to where else I should go. I tried going and simply having those feelings reconfirmed that I simply didn't belong there, and I decided not to go anymore. I just want a little disclaimer. I'm not saying anything about other churches right now. This is just part of my convictions and testimony right now. Coming out of all this, I wanted to find others who had similar convictions. I experienced this change of values and wanted to see if I could find others of similar values. One evening in 2017, I was invited to Peter Gunther's house. a young adult group from the old colony was getting together there. I find it interesting to note that as I was driving on my way there, I remember having this intense fear. I remember having this anxiety and this urge to turn around and go home. I committed to going, and for the first time, I met a group that called themselves the Order of Good Cheer. Fairly quickly, I found that this was it. These were the people I wanted to surround myself with. They shared the values that I was looking for. I remember being blown away by their singing. I remember at the time, I was not familiar with four-part harmony, but as my convictions had changed, the music I had listened to had also changed, and I had this longing to learn it. And here I was, surrounded by it. I thought to myself, I have to be a part of this group. November of that year, I decided to join a few of the members of this group to Bible school in Ephrata. A minister spoke there of the kingdom of God, and I heard of this concept of the kingdom of God before, but here I had a chance to dive deeper. This concept changed the way I saw everything. And it made sense of things I had struggled with in Scripture and even in the world. As I mentioned before, I felt I had found those of similar values. I admired them. They embraced Anabaptist values. They had a system of taking turns hosting on Sundays. Some embraced veiling and courtship. At the end of each Sunday, at the end of most Sundays, we'd break out the songbooks. Often it was the hymns of the church, and we'd sing. And here I was. Surrounded by people of similar values, back at the old colony. The ones I had so long ago left, I was now excited to be a part of. To God be the glory. I felt that this was one of the brightest lights after coming out of such a dark time. They taught me many things. They taught me how to host, how to work together, how to sing. Please don't feel that I'm trying to lift up these people so much as I'm trying to say that God was faithful. He heard my cry and answered. I decided to leave the Rhineland and become a member. Through this group, I met Lisa. She caught my eye. One of the first times I had spoken with her, she had come from her brother's baseball game. And she was really sunburned. And I told her, you know, Lisa, red's a good color on you. In February of 2020, I wrote a letter to her asking her for courtship. And young ladies, if I could give you a piece of advice, if a young man leaves you a letter in your mailbox inviting you to courtship, just let him know that you received it. It took about 2 weeks for me to get a response, and many times I had wondered if she had even received the letter. In March of 2020, we had officially began our courtship. And if you think standing up here is scary, courting Lisa is a blessing. And yes, we had a coronavirus courtship. You know, finally you get a girlfriend and suddenly it's illegal to hang out with her. We experienced a hands-off courtship, and to this day, I don't regret this. I fell in love with her. And in April of 2021, I asked her to marry me. And July 25th of that year, we married. And what a blessing it's been. Our fourth will be coming up this year. Right. Yeah. We began our marriage with a set of challenges. This was still in the midst of the pandemic, And the housing market had skyrocketed. Our first home was an RV trailer, and we parked it on my parents' property. A home is a home, and the Lord blessed it. One of our biggest challenges to this day is learning to communicate. In November of 2022, we had Luke, and if you think dating Lisa was scary, having Luke was a whole nother thing. In July of 2024, we had Stacy, and parenting has shown me a deeper side of Christianity and the fatherly love that God has for us. Nearing the end of our courtship, we got to know a handful of couples. It seemed naturally we moved on from our young adult group and started fellowshipping with these young families. This all seemed as though it was God's leading, for this seemed to happen at the perfect time. There I was able to learn from fathers who had visions for their families. As time went on, I noticed Lisa was having some difficulties attending church. We had visited here before, and I had asked her if she'd like to visit again. And it's been a little over a year, and we're still here. I was hesitant in becoming a member. I decided we'd wait at least a year. And I have to say, here there is a sense of welcome, a sense of community and participation. And I appreciate the push for strong families and the fact that you encourage each other to use their gifts to build the kingdom of God, here and now. At times, I still struggle with assurance, with fear. I struggle with being a proper husband and father. But I know Christ. And I still turn to Him one thing at a time. God has brought me here thus far. He has preserved me, and He has led me. Hilf ferner wird mein tristet Hort, hilf mir zu allen Stunden. Hilf mir an all und jedem Ort, hilf mir durch Jesu Wunden. Damit sage ich, bis in den Tod durch Christi Blut, hilf mir, mein Gott.
My name is Lisa Croker. I have 5 brothers and 1 sister. I was born in Mexico, raised in Kansas and Oklahoma, and moved to Canada when I was almost 12. I was very timid and scared at home around my dad, but outside or with friends, I loved to have fun. My dad was an alcoholic and abused me in all forms. I grew up scared of all men, which lasted into my adulthood. Often I could tell on someone's face if they were alcoholics, and I steered clear of angry men. If they were happy and nice, I eventually lowered my guard, but never fully. We moved often. Once the school term was done, we'd pack up and move. By grade 3, it was my 5th school year and my 6th time moving. Not sure how much we moved before I was in preschool. I made friends easily, but I started to dread it because I wasn't sure how long it would last. We stayed at this last place till the middle of my 6th grade school year. It was in Kiowa, Kansas, and one of those towns where everyone knows everyone and you are friends with the sheriff. I loved the school and the church. It was an apostolic Christian church. The people were so joyful and loving, a big contrast to home. I was drawn to the people, and for the first time I felt loved and accepted. Sometime later, we went to a German church, Ryland, about 45 minutes from us. My parents didn't go to church, and when these people found out, they put my dad in the position of singer, and we had to go. I couldn't speak, read, or understand German, so after the first attempt at Sunday school, they sent me into church. I couldn't understand anything there either, so church became something to endure. One thing I am thankful for to my dad is that he made us sing. Even though he used our singing to make a name for himself, God used it for good in my life. I don't remember if I loved singing as a child, but when we moved to Canada, I joined the school choir, learned harmony, and the passion for singing grew. It's still one of my greatest passions. My dad got sick in Kansas and died from liver failure at the age of 38. The townspeople really came together for my family, even paying for the hospital bills since we were poor. This was in March of 2007, and by the end of that year, my mom's siblings sponsored her to Canada, and we made the move. My mom warned me that we would be going to a German school, and I'd have to wear dresses every day. I was not thrilled. I didn't mind occasionally wearing dresses, but all the time was unthinkable. And by German school, I thought she meant the subjects would be in German, and everybody spoke in German all the time. I had learned to read High German by this time, but still couldn't speak much Low German. We went to Wheatley Old Colony School, and I was so thankful that everyone spoke English and the subjects were in English. There was only one class in German. From grade 6 through high school, I copied from classmates if it wasn't the typical Der, Das, Dem, Das. The understanding of High German was very slow for me. But scripture was everywhere. The Bible stories were so fascinating. I shared my excitement with my classmates, but they grew up with the stories, and they were old news to them. I got the impression that it wasn't that big of a deal and let it go. But aside from math, Bible was always one of my favorite subjects. As time went on, I craved attention and love and sought it in friends, boys, sports, anything really. I had to be good at everything I did because that confirmed to me that I was worth something. I became a bit wild and was always up for a good time. Even though I never wanted to drink, I somehow found myself at a party on my 16th birthday. Since it was my first time and my 16th birthday, I was offered free drinks. I took them because I liked the attention. Later, when I went to the bathroom, God spoke to me in the quiet and told me to leave. I made up my mind that I would, because things were getting a little crazy and I wasn't exactly sober, but not drunk either. I didn't like the feeling. But when I opened the door, friends were right there and drew me in again. This continued for 9 months. For a time, I let myself go, but as I gradually got deeper into it and started going to school Monday mornings with a hangover, the feeling came back that I needed to leave. Even though I wasn't close to my mom, I hated seeing her hurt, so I tried to keep this from her. She got really close to the truth, and I knew I needed to stop. It wasn't until my teacher's devotion one day at school that I did stop. He talked about the effects of alcohol and how Satan takes control of you when drunk. I didn't want to be controlled by Satan, so I stopped going. A few months later, a friend and I were talking about heaven and hell, and I got really scared about going to hell. It consumed me all day. Before I went to bed that night, I knelt and told God that I wanted to be His. There was a measure of peace, and although my full conversion didn't happen until much later, God met me where I was and started leading me down a different path. I was surrounded by scripture at school, but yet I didn't know what it meant to be a Christian. These things weren't talked about at home, and I had no one to disciple me. I felt very alone, but I trudged forward. And God is so good. Two older Christian girls wrote me a letter. They had heard of my conversion and encouraged me. Always, God had something or someone to encourage me to keep me going. My spiritual progress was slow but sure. Since German was still a challenge, I was looking for somewhere else to attend church. I only knew of New Rowland at the time, but was warned against going there. I don't remember the reasons. But I wanted to follow the command to be baptized, so I stayed at Old Colony and got baptized. Towards the end of that year, one of my brothers also got baptized and shared his testimony. Memories of my dad came flooding back to me. I had shoved him to the back of my mind as far as I could. But now I couldn't stop thinking about it all. Hatred and bitterness filled me. And I cried constantly on the way to school and on the way home from school. I would cry myself to sleep. I was teaching grades 5 and 6 at this time, and I struggled to be present. They needed so much of me. After a few weeks, I cried out to God, and He asked me to forgive my dad. I rebelled at the thought and avoided it. The struggle just got worse and worse. Finally, I cried out to God again, and again He told me to forgive. With God's help, I forgave Him and surrendered my past to God. Instantly, my focus switched from me to my dad. To my knowledge, he hadn't had anyone to show him the way, and if he hadn't given his life to the Lord, his fate wasn't good. And I wept for him. With time, I had to surrender this too to the Lord. Slowly, God changed my heart and gave me new convictions, a few of which are head covering courtship, movies, and music. Fear of man has always been one of my greatest struggles, but I can also be stubborn. And when I know a path to take and I'm convinced, I give it my all. I had been praying about the first two, head veiling and courtship, for some time, and God sent a package to me in the mail with booklets from Beside the Still Waters. The first two I took out were about head covering and courtship. I knew before reading them what God wanted of me. I started veiling once I was baptized and eventually stopped watching movies and changed the style of music I listened to. I wasn't sure who to hang out with. The youth group was nice, but no one was a Christian, or at least didn't voice it if they were. I stopped doing certain things, and I think that made them feel like they had to stop too, so I left the group for a while and found two girls to fellowship with. Eventually, I went back to the youth group and had a lot of fun with them. I still struggled with church, and somehow I found out about revival meetings at South Point and went to them. I was so grateful and filled. But I noticed people weren't happy I had gone. Some told me to my face and some beat around the bush. I didn't understand it. I had grown up going to various churches, so this was nothing new for me. But I stopped going and the group became my church. We had nice fellowship between the boys and girls, sang a lot, played a lot of volleyball. I resolved to give it my best at Old Colony, and for a time I was happy. I'm not sure what got me to question my salvation, but I wrestled with it for a long time after I was baptized. I got hold of the Making of a Princess CDs, and she said, if you're doubting about your salvation, to ask God, and he would reveal the truth. So I did. I prayed about it for a while. Then one day, during my devotions before bed, I came across John chapter 10, the portion of Jesus being the door and to enter in through the door. I saw before me a wall and Jesus as the door. He stood there with his hand outstretched, inviting me to come in. I knelt on the ground and wept. Peace washed over me as I entered. My relationship with him grew strong and sweet. One of the first things he brought to my attention was trusting him. Scripture likens God to a father, but I didn't trust him to be a good father to me. I kept a journal that I always addressed to him, and I felt he was asking me to address him now as father. When I finally gave this area over to him, I was so blessed. I not only addressed him now as father, but I could see that he was leading me like a gentle and loving father would. To this day, it's still my favorite way to address him. He led me, spoke to me, and shaped me. He was always close at hand. When I doubted my worth, he reminded me of his love for me. When I questioned my purpose on earth, he gave affirmation that he had a purpose for me. When I was lonely, a lady from Bible school advised me to go on a date with God. So some Sundays were spent almost entirely with him. I remember going through a little season struggling with something. I don't remember what it was. I was at Hillman Marsh one Sunday, praying, journaling, and surrendering. I looked up, the clouds parted, and the shape of an anchor formed. I knew God was telling me he was my anchor. I could put my trust and hope in him. Those were sweet times. But eventually, God needed to take away the hedge and let me experience some hard trials. I had taught high school for a few years by now, and I loved it. I learned about submission and was very scared of this idea because I still didn't trust many men at this time. Some things started to change in the school system, and things became very heated. I rebelled at some things and didn't do as we were asked to do, but God convicted me and reminded me about submission, so I did what was asked. When I talked to people about it, there were varying opinions. Some said to submit, and some said you didn't need to submit to authority that wasn't leading in a godly way, which they thought was the case here. Things were still very heated, and I was confused and angry about everything that was going on and needed a break from teaching. I worked at a bakery owned by conservatives. Again, I felt resistance from people. Some knew of my struggle with church and didn't want me to leave. I was cautioned about them and their pushiness to get people to go to their church. I found that this was not the case. I got some healing here and missed my students so I decided to teach the next year again. I got my position in high school back, and although things seemed a bit lighter, it still wasn't easy. God continually held submission before me. It was a roller coaster. Sometimes I had victory, and sometimes I failed. A year before Johnny and I started courting, God impressed on my heart that my life would change soon. I wasn't sure exactly what that was, but pretty sure it was marriage. If that was the case, then I needed to get the submission thing figured out. I started reading up on marriage and studying marriages around me. Our youth group would sometimes hang out with married couples to sing and fellowship together, and I was especially blessed by the one couple. I started seeing that marriages could be wonderful and beautiful. When Johnny asked me for courtship, I prayed about it for about a month. I probably should have told him I was praying about it, but I was too focused on finding out God's will. I finally fasted and got peace to say yes. We had a blessed courtship. I believe the foundation we set and the relationship we established in courtship helped me later in marriage to do my best in submitting and serving him, even in my depression. I was still teaching during our courtship, and the struggle to submit to a certain authority at school was still there. I started viewing submission at school with Johnny and marriage in mind, knowing that victories now would help me later. We got engaged in April and only wanted a 3-month engagement, so wedding planning took place during the end of the school year. I would not recommend that. It was a very difficult time for me. It seemed there were pressures from every angle. School, church, our youth group had grown quite big, and we never really learned how to function well as a large group. So some of my relationships there were struggling. Wedding planning and COVID, which meant school and homes. I was overwhelmed. But God helped me through, and I really enjoyed our wedding day and our trip to BC. A few weeks later, I crashed spiritually, physically, and emotionally. I was so impressed, though, with Johnny's patience, love, and understanding as I tried to sort through everything. I kept thinking it's so much like God acts towards me. It took a long time to sort through it all. For the past 4 years, it has felt like there was always something to try to hold me down. I was naturally a cheerful person and wrestled against becoming depressed. Once I let go of bitterness, my physical health needed attention. Then Luke was born and I fell into deep postpartum depression. When I came out of that, I was soon pregnant again, and with depression fresh on my mind, I was scared to face that again. I did go through depression after Stacy was born, but I had faithful prayer support and God answered those prayers. Depression wasn't as deep nor as long. Since the beginning of this year, I have been free and light once more entered my heart, so much so that we started calling this year a year of hope and light. My relationship with God was deepening again, but my joyful spirit wasn't quite back yet. I started to pray about it, and God convicted me of placing a spirit of joy over my relationship with him. I sensed him asking me to surrender it and be okay with him, even if I wasn't as joyful. When I surrendered, God blessed me and gave me once again a joyful spirit. I can read and pray again with love, and not just through a sense of duty, and fellowship with people is sweet again. I'm so thankful to God for his faithfulness, patience, and love. And I am so blessed to see the love you all have for one another here and the way you work together. I look forward to being a part of this fellowship and serving alongside all of you.